and to be open to what you may learn from their journeys. Our first speaker is going to be Sue Pittman. Sue became a member of UUCC in 1998 after following the development of the budding church in 1995 in Brownsburg. It was with joy, relief, and gratitude that she was able to find a UU church in conservative Hendricks County. To us as well. As a social worker and a mother of two, Sue found that the principles and values of UU fit perfectly with her own. She had found her home. Welcome, Sue.
Finding UU. So I cheated. In 1986, my then fiance and I were looking for a place to get married. Because I was a defected Catholic and he had never been part of a particular church, we were facing a dilemma. We didn't want to do the justice of the peace thing, and my very devout Catholic mother didn't want us to do that either. Then one day, she brought me a book about getting married. I forget the name of the book, but it was something to the effect of How to Get Married for Dummies. Mom showed me this section about who can legally perform weddings without requiring the couple to belong to their church. One of the options was UU ministers. Because I had become a bit desperate at this time, I just burst out with, "Thank God, UUs will marry anybody." I didn't know much about Unitarian Universalism, except I seem to recall that Thomas Jefferson maybe was one. After I looked it up, I discovered that 5 United States presidents were Unitarians. I should quiz you and see if you know. Do you know any of them? That's right. No others? Okay, you guys got to be taking this quiz or something, or a test. So, anyways, I seem to recall that Thomas Jefferson maybe was one. After I looked it up, I discovered that 5 United States presidents were Unitarians. John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, Millard Fillmore, and William Taft. While he did not specifically identify with an organized religion, Abraham Lincoln had universalist leanings. It's important to note that the American Unitarian Association and the Universalist Church of America merged in 1961. The merger was done to save Universalism and to strengthen Unitarianism. Anyway, after being a young couple, we weren't concerned with attending a particular church or adhering to a particular set of teachings or dogma. Thankfully, as we discovered, UUism doesn't expect any of that. They were more interested in religious freedom, honoring one's own spiritual path, and finding no use for a God that would represent the patriarchy, which was extremely important to me and was one of the reasons I had to leave the Catholic Church. It should be understood that UUism is guided by 7 principles that are agreed upon. It is a myth that UUs just believe in anything or in nothing. And 7 principles are, there's a little pamphlet over by the plate over there, if you want to look at them. So back to the wedding. Living on the east side of Indy, naturally All Souls was the most convenient UU church. Reverend Ed Harris, whose picture is up there on the wall, he was the minister, and what a treasure he was. I'll never forget how he very intently locked eyes with me as I walked down the aisle, sensing that I was very anxious and needed to focus on him to ease my nerves. A minister with spiritual and emotional intelligence. I was so grateful for that moment with him. Of course, everyone said the ceremony was lovely, but I could tell some people, like my much older cousin, who was kind of a hippie, really, really meant it. My grandmother, who was very stern and not exactly open-minded, expressed disapproving curiosity about why there was no mention of God in the ceremony and no symbols of Jesus on the walls. I don't remember what anyone had said to her about that, but it seemed we just left her to her own discomfort and she had to get over it. In 1994, my husband and I had our four-year-old son, Kurt, and we moved to Brownsburg. I noticed in the local paper that there was an ongoing piece about how a group of UUs had started a church at the Roland Manor nursing facility. I followed the story, and I can still remember Sam Carman's name being brought up frequently. There were other founding members, like Judy and Ed Hansen. I don't know if anybody remembers them, but I can't remember who else. It was a long time ago. But I do remember feeling great admiration for their guts and determination to do something like this. Then I read that the church in Danville had been bought, and I was thrilled. Such a beautiful, just the right size place of worship. By this time in 1997, our son Joey was born. I like to call him the church's first baby, because he was, and everyone went nuts over him. In 1998, I became a member. I've had many wonderful experiences at our church, and there's not enough time to talk about all of them here. But the bottom line, what exactly struck me the most, was how warm and welcoming everyone was and still is. The congregation participates in the services, and we are free to speak our minds. The services and topics are diverse and are often very thoughtful, provoking. And for me, the social justice and spiritual aspects of UUism complement each other nicely. When I began to really appreciate UUCC, I remember thinking of the church as a spiritual oasis in the conservative wasteland that is Hendricks County. Now that might be rather harsh, and our demographics and perspectives of our communities are constantly changing. That's really how I felt at the time, and I want to be honest. Perhaps a softer, kinder way of expressing my thoughts and feelings might be that I feel like I can be myself here. What a gift. I'd found my home.
Thank you, Sue, for sharing with us more about your journey. Up next, we'll be welcoming to the podium Marissa Farrell. Marissa just joined the church earlier this year. Immediately, the interaction she had with the congregation opposed previous experiences. UU has been both a pleasant surprise and a stressful new territory to navigate. The church has been an ongoing practice of socializing after years of isolation and conflict with others. She was raised in a very disciplined household by her mother, who strongly discouraged thinking well of other people or spending time with them. She learned many damaging perspectives and beliefs and has spent her adult life unlearning those things. While Marissa continues to struggle with isolation, she cares very much for everyone she meets and looks forward to spending time in a place that sees that as a virtue. Welcome, Marissa.
Hello, it's my turn. I'm really nervous.
We should warn you about the spot.
What?
So this is for it to be about that far away.
Is it too loud?
No, but it makes popping noises if you get too close.
So that's, it's good now? It's better? Okay.
Perfect.
All right. So I don't have the same kind of time range as Sue does. I only started coming here this year. Well, I started coming here last year, but I joined this year. As my little introduction said, I was raised in a Catholic home, which I understand is not uncommon, but I believe the way that I was raised was uncommon, and I tend to put those two things together. So when I think of Catholicism now, I really just think of the toxicity that I grew up with. The good news is, as a young adult, I chose not to carry those harmful beliefs with me. Over the years, I've gone back and forth between accepting that I don't really believe in anything and searching for something to hold on to. I'm not very receptive in general to spiritual beliefs, but I figured maybe the fact that I kept looking was a sign that it could be worthwhile. I reluctantly realized that no one was going to appear in my life and just tell me what I believe in. No one was going to show up and just give me these answers and just let me piggyback off of that. I would have liked it to be that simple. I really wanted it to be. And unfortunately, I'm gonna just have to do it myself. So I did work on this talk for a while, but it may not seem like it because I had to rewrite it. When I had first started planning this a couple months ago, I was going to show a short clip, but that clip is no longer appropriate for what I'm talking about because my beliefs changed. I was in that phase of just being skeptical of everything, not really believing in anything, and now I feel like I do believe something, I just couldn't say exactly what. I'd like to come back to the clip later, though, because there is still a quote from it that fits. In being in the phase of searching again, I realized, I think, what my main problem has been this whole time, and it's that even just the thought of believing in something makes me feel really vulnerable. It makes me feel vulnerable and scared and silly, and I don't want to feel stupid. And I don't think that about anybody else who has beliefs. I just think that about myself. And it's really hard because when you've put in a lot of faith and work and effort into a religion and into people that in the end did not end up serving you, it's hard to reach out for that again. A lot of people have a bad breakup and they swear they're never gonna date again and then they keep doing it anyway, and that's kind of how I feel about religion. But that's how it feels to me. I think just realizing that, acknowledging that it makes me feel vulnerable has allowed me to really face that that's the problem and to come into a new mental space that I haven't really explored yet. This new mental space has also allowed me to remember a couple encounters that I do believe to be paranormal. And it's hard for me to even acknowledge that. It's hard for me to not just shrug it off. But this is a good motivation for me to keep going. When I ask myself what I want to do with this mindset now, where I want to go next, without thinking, my answer is sleep and dreams. I've always been very intrigued by dreams and I guess how our brain works while we're unconscious. I have a strong connection with my dreams that I don't know how to articulate. I feel more myself there than I do here, just standing here right now. I meet interesting people. I've been in many odd environments. And I have grieved many people and places that I've been to in my dreams. Because when I wake up, I can't go back. And as I get older, it's harder and harder for me to say, well, it's just a dream. Grow up. This is reality. It's not real. And I don't know, maybe it isn't, but I've decided that that's what has my attention. As far as UU goes, I feel that UU provides some things that I've been looking for. One thing is self-improvement. I have done a lot of work on myself and unlearning harmful beliefs, and I'm always looking for people to support me in this and who hold themselves accountable in the same ways. That's been hard to find, honestly. I would think that would be everyone's goal, but I feel like that's more of a thing here than anywhere else that I've been. The second thing is diversity. When I was a kid, my mom didn't want me talking to anybody because she insisted that we were better than everyone else. And I don't think that. And I don't want to. And I don't understand the value in that. And it's not right. Our differences are what makes us strong as a group. And I really value that. I had written other things too, but I had to cut out a lot from what I had prepared. I want to close this by mentioning that clip that I did not show you. The main quote in it was, "I believe in a universe that doesn't care and people who do." I think the world is a very harsh and confusing place. And I strongly believe that we are obligated to care for one another. I think that is the most important thing we can do. As empathetic beings, why wouldn't we take care of each other? Thank you.